Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we are coming to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And today I am with Kate Miller, who has a fantastic history in the world of outdoors and food. She is currently a farmer and owns a company called Wild Forage, which takes wild herbs and wild plants and creates extracts for them and very, very cool stuff. I'm looking forward to hearing more about the concept of nutrient-dense foods and all this other kind of stuff. How are you doing today, Kate?
I'm doing well, Stephen. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, the pleasure is more on my side for sure, because we've had a few conversations previous to the show, and it just never seems like there's anything lack of to talk about when you come to nutrient-dense foods and different things like that. But today we're going to talk about just a couple of quick subjects, knock them out really quick.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go off into the first one. Let's talk about, you had talked a little bit about the slow food movement versus the fast food movement. And
yes.
Could you kind of give us a little bit idea of what that movement really is all about and how it may apply to people all over the United States?
Sure. Slow food movement is now international. It's all over the world, but it did start originally in Italy around 1986. A man called Carlo Petrini became outraged because a McDonald's was coming to Rome and was going to be situated right in the middle of some really historic areas. And he was really concerned about what that was going to do to the face of the Italian food culture. And over the span of the next couple of years, he created this whole movement called slow food, which is sort of the opposite of fast food. It's about knowing where your food comes from. They have three basic premises, that food is good, that it's clean, and that it's fair. So they focus really on those three areas in terms of, eating delicious food that's created from healthy ingredients, that's good for you, it's nutritious, and it's fair, that it comes from a good source, that that raised it humanely and harvested humanely, and that everyone has equal access to good, healthy food.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about a simple concept like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so much in the North American world, anyways, is that we think that a diet or a movement in the food industry has to be this anti-depression diet or, this is the sports performance diet, you know what I mean, all
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff. And
right.
Really, when it comes down to it, I think this is really cool. The food sources, at first, is most important. Because could you tell us why is the food source so important?
Well, particularly in North America, but also increasingly all over the world, we are being bombarded by this fast food culture of, everything should be bigger, better, faster. But what's happening is we're losing our nutrients in our food. It's starting to come from these huge monoculture farms, which means, a farm that might be 1,000 acres that only grows one thing. And that's not good for the environment. It's not good for the soil. And it's not good for us as consumers, because all sorts of things start to happen when we start working in a monoculture system. So smaller, more diversified farms where you're actually giving money to a farmer and not a corporation when you buy that product. As a farmer, that's really important. please. So all those things kind of factor in, and I believe there is a really significant effect on the quality of the food that you get when you buy from a smaller, more diversified farm versus a larger corporate one.
You know, it's interesting. I was reading something because I think you have we kind of got introduced
mm-hmm.
through the seed industry, if you will.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about, because one of the things I was reading as well is that, 1,000 years ago, there was 4,000 different varieties of let's say, food sources that showed up in our diet. Now they're trying to get it down to like 8 different things plus the chemicals in the food.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about diversity, you know, and that seed level food source. What is the challenges there?
Well, I mean, diversity is incredibly important. I studied in India for a while with a woman named Vandana Shiva, who's a big food activist in the world of organics and anti-GMO, genetically modified organisms. And she, one of the things that she promotes regularly is diversity and the importance of having a diverse seed bank and diverse seed genetics available to us, because times are changing, the climate is changing, you know, the way we grow things are changing, and we need to be able to react and respond to that. And when we limit ourselves to a very narrow plant genetic pool, we start to get a little, some of us in the farming world start to get a little concerned, because one of the things that happens is, you know, through natural selection or just inherent traits in a certain plant, they might be more drought resistant, or they might be more tolerant to different environmental factors, and if we lose those, we've lost them. We don't have that anymore, and I'm not sure that we can create that in a laboratory.
Well, I just thought of another subject. It's amazing. Did you see the information? The article said that in Switzerland or something like that over in Europe, they had just created vanilla from a computer printout of the DNA of vanilla. They basically created stuff. They created something
I think I had a nightmare about it once, Stephen.
But it's true. He says, oh, yeah, we could do everything with this. And you think about it. You're going to create food off of a computer printout and then place it in a genetically modified yeast seed or whatever. I'm not familiar with what, you know, actually yeast would come from, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, so you think about that. Is that diversity? Well, in the logical, pragmatic world, that does seem to be diversity. But really, is that type of thing diversity?
Yeah, it's. I think it's a very slippery slope. I think there's a lot of people that argue that that genetically modified foods have a big place in our agricultural future. I would strongly disagree. There's a lot of people that feel very strongly that. That GMOs are important because they could, you know, they will, quote unquote, save the world. They'll stop hunger and, and help save people from different illnesses. But I also haven't seen any evidence of that either. GMOs have been around for quite a few years now, and there's still a lot of really hungry people out there.
Sorry to interrupt you. But
yeah, go ahead.
The more you talk to these really high-level professors, you know, in mm-hmm. in the world, they really do have that very pragmatic approach where I'm solving a problem. I'm not too worried about the side effects necessarily. I want to eliminate them maybe as much as I can, but I'm still mm-hmm. trying to solve a problem, and they haven't solved it yet. And it really, it's like that is really a difficult position to be in. All right, we're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be back to tackle another part of the slow food versus fast food.